Hey guys, I'm Jen, owner of Hello June Creative, a boutique brand and web design studio. I'm here to help you learn, up-level, and find community in your design business journey. Just remember, the only designer you need to be better than is the one you were yesterday. Hey guys, I just had the most amazing conversation with my friend Brad Almond. We actually connected about a year and a half ago when FontSpring reached out for a potential sponsorship opportunity with the podcast, and then we had his colleague on to talk all things fonts licensing. So John Jardiner was on in, I believe, season 7. So it's kind of been a nice, you know, relationship ever since then. And Brad actually reached out to us wanting to kind of pitch a podcast episode all about life beyond being laid off. And so I thought it was a great, you know, opportunity to talk about something that is not really talked about super often in our industry on social media, which is absolutely the type of content that we're interested in. So I'll go ahead and read Brad's bio. Brad Almond has worked in the art and graphic design world for almost 20 years. He is currently a creative specialist at Compassion International, a nonprofit organization releasing children in third world countries from poverty. He is also a freelance designer and illustrator and part-time musician. He lives with his wife, two children, and a cat in Wilmington, Delaware, and loves children's books, folk music, Wes Anderson movies, and spends way too many hours playing Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, which I absolutely need to get into because I am a huge fan of Breath of the Wild. Enjoy my conversation with Brad, and I hope this brings a little bit of encouragement and makes anyone out there feel less alone. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Welcome, Brad, to Better the Brand Designer podcast. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So let's get started with our roses and thorns. I'll go first. I was just telling Brad before we got on the recording that our house is almost done. So that's my rose for the week. I know I've been boring you guys to tears talking about the build process, but October 1st is the day, guys. We're going to get our certificate of occupancy. Fingers crossed. We've got a new school set up for Ryder. We've been starring all the places on Google Maps in our little small town of Waycross, Georgia, and just visiting the house has been a total dream. So that's been really, really fun and something that's just so exciting that we're really looking forward to. And then my thorn is that I have had a cold for like a week and a half. So if my voice sounds nasally and congested, my deepest apologies to everyone listening. It's a reality of life. So it is what it is.
Yeah, same. I hear you on that. That's one of my thorns too, is just my voice is not its best right now. So I'm like sucking on cough drops, got my water right here. So
It's that daycare life or that school life where your kids just absorb all of the illnesses and then you just got to keep going on with life.
Yep. Allergy season as well. So got that going on. My rose though, kind of goes along with that. It's the weather. Where I'm living, Wilmington, Delaware, we've had like the perfect fall weather since this week started. So it has been, about 60 degrees in the mornings, like high 60s. So it's like perfect. It's like, you can wear long sleeves. I appreciate that.
Oh, that's the best. I was just in New York City this past weekend and my friend said, no, but Jen, you don't understand. Like, it's been hot. And it was the first weekend where it was like 60 degrees, like the wind in my hair, like, I mean, that's in like Midtown Manhattan and the wind was still reaching those city streets. So, I can imagine it's just like that first like pep of fall in the air where you're like, okay, the holidays are ahead. Like the end of the year is coming around, which is just so crazy because I feel like 2023 like just got started and now it's like, we're halfway through September and it's every time I look at my calendar, I have to like, try not to go crazy or like get nervous because of all the things I have to get done before the end of the year. But it's also really exciting to see everything moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And fall is my favorite time of year anyway. So I'm like, I just look forward to the festivals and the weather and the holidays and all that stuff. So love it.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, let's just get started with our questions. I'm really excited about this topic today, particularly because, as I was telling you before we got on a recording, a lot of our audience might still be working in the corporate world. You guys might be working in-house. You might be working in agencies. You might be doing your design studios on the side, trying to figure out when is the time to kind of take that leap. And some of you guys might have even experienced, you know, being laid off or unemployment or getting let go from your job. And so I'm just really happy that Brad reached out and said, hey, I would love to talk about my experience, you know, in your, I don't want to say unemployment journey, because that sounds just like so bad, but like just kind of like how you dealt with things from a mindset perspective, how you moved forward, particularly as a creative who was let go, and how to kind of make the most of that season of your life. So I think this is just going to be a great conversation, and hopefully it'll make someone out there feel a little bit less alone. So really excited.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose. That's why I wanted to do this. So
yeah, thank you. For sure. So go ahead and give us just a brief history of your career, where you started, where it led you, a little bit about your positions at FontSpring and then Dribbble, and just kind of like your story to get us kicked off.
Yeah, sure. So I graduated college in 2003, and it feels like a totally different era now. Like thinking back when I graduated, what I was expecting graphic design to be like at the time, where it is now, it's completely different. It's like the reasons that I really wanted to go into being a graphic designer were mostly like physical goods, physical media. Like I love like opening up a brand new CD and looking at that booklet. Well, that's not really an experience that people have too often anymore. With how things have gone mostly digital, and web-based now, it was a bit tough to immediately graduate in 2003 and then have that moment where it's like, oh, iPhones like are brand new, and like just it's the whole industry completely changed. People aren't mailing out CDs anymore with software on them. You have to pay for subscriptions, that sort of thing. Yeah, it took me a bit of time to find work immediately. I reached out to a friend of mine who designed fonts and sold them online through CDs, as as I had mentioned. So I was doing that part time. At the time he was just selling them out of his house and making a living doing that, as well as some graphic design. So I pitched in with him on that sort of work, and then soon after found full-time work for an educational firm, a global educational firm that specialized in special needs. So I worked there for about 11 years, and that was my first layoff. So 11 years after I started, that came as a shock.
Wow.
So that was tough to deal with. And I was just like, what did I do wrong? You know, despite being told that I did nothing wrong. Right.
Yeah.
So the good side of that is I reconnected with that friend of mine who I had done work with part-time, who was selling fonts. He had moved on to start FontSpring, which, sells font licenses online. They're a well-respected website, one of the leading font distributors. So yeah, I managed to reconnect there. And that was what I needed at the time to grow as an artist. I think I was becoming stagnant in my work. I was too comfortable in the 11-year job that I had, where I wasn't learning new skills and I wasn't like pushing myself creatively. So yeah, FontSpring came along. I was working for them for 6 years, and that was completely, it reframed my state of mind when it came to work, because instead of doing work just to get it done and do it efficiently, I was actually reframing my mindset that my work had to be seen by other designers now. So I needed to up my game and really try and make it have personality, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, worked for FontSpring for 6 years. Great company. Still love those guys. Nothing but love for any of these companies, by the way. That I cannot stress that enough. I have no hard feelings against anyone there. I fully support them. I continue to support them. So FontSpring got bought out by Dribbble, who your audience is probably pretty familiar with. And it was probably about 6 to 7 months after the acquisition that Dribbble had done some layoffs. So I got caught in that round of layoffs. And so I was unemployed for about 6 months after that, seeking work. I was sending out applications for jobs that I wanted to make sure were going to be a good use of my gifts and talents and not just kind of like a waste of my time.
Right. Because at that point in your career, you are at a senior level. Like, you don't just want to take any job, and you're not trying to get experience. You're trying to really make an impact and do something with your talents. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't want to. Yeah. Also, like with being a parent too, like you're providing for your family. So you want to make sure that the pay is worth it.
And absolutely.
So, yeah. So just continue to make connections and send out applications. Eventually found a posting on LinkedIn from Compassion International, which is where I'm at now. So I'm creative specialist at Compassion as of February. So
that's very exciting. Yeah, so
been doing that for about 6 or 7 months so far now.
You are now using, like I said, your skills and talents for a cause that you care about. I mean, I was just reading about it, you know, and we read it in the intro that it's a nonprofit organization that releases children in third world countries from poverty. And, you know, we talk often on the podcast about how to make an impact in the world as a designer. And I bet you there's a little bit more of a different type of motivation when you're designing for this organization versus just kind of working in corporate or selling fonts, you
absolutely
know, which it does have world impact, but not in the direct way that you're experiencing right now. So kind of oddly, in a way, your business, or your, not your business journey, but your career has led you to this place now where you probably feel a greater sense of fulfillment in your work. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I definitely would. I mean, I could say the same in some aspects for every job that I've taken on, where it's like, so the 11 years with the educational firm, like, oh, like I'm actually making a difference in these kids' lives, even though what I'm doing is design related, right? I'm making people's lives better in some way. And at FontSpring, it was like, oh, we're making font licensing easier for designers. So that's rewarding in and of itself. This on a global level, though, is unlike either of those jobs, way beyond. So it's pretty awesome to just be reminded of that and just be among coworkers who are just great people who love people and love God. And it's just awesome.
That's amazing. You know, like we talk, you know, briefly sometimes on the podcast about like integrating like faith and business. And I just put out a Instagram carousel for anyone curious about how I've recently been integrating like my faith journey with business and how that has just led me to the most amazing connections to people with shared values. And so how cool is it that you're kind of finding that alignment in what is probably one of the most important things to you is your faith and your work. And so I imagine that that is, like you said, fulfilling in just a different way. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, I would love to hear you expand a little bit on your work experiences. So, you know, both times after being laid off, how did you feel? Like, what type of emotions were going through your mind? Like you said, what type of stories were you telling yourself about who was at fault, and kind of how, what was your mindset like during those two times?
Thanks. So layoffs definitely are an emotional thing. They stir up so many emotions. Anger could be one of those. And I want to, if there's no other advice I can give, it's let go of any anger. It's not gonna benefit you in any way. It's fine to embrace the sadness and be in that moment, but just I like I said, I have nothing but love for all these companies that I've been a part of, and those experiences have led me to where I am now. If it weren't for my prior work history, like I wouldn't have the job I have now, right? So it's when you look at it that way, in hindsight, it helps. So everyone I've worked with, great companies, great people, fully support them, continue to. The first layoff that I experienced way back when, I think it hurt a lot more because, like I said, I've felt like I was maybe the only one in the company who was being let go because it was a smaller company and they weren't doing like a big round of layoffs. So I felt kind of alone in that. So that hurt. Felt like I'd done something wrong despite being told the opposite. And I had a 1-year-old son at the time and I lost health coverage. So that was kind of crushing.
Oh my
Yeah.
gosh, as a parent, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, for sure. So thinking about family first, but the second time, it took a while to really wrestle with those feelings that I have. And to some degree, I still am dealing with those. A lot of them are subconscious, where it's like it affects me in ways that I don't see coming, where I can't think of the term, the imposter syndrome. Okay.
Yeah,
So,
there you go. We're very familiar with imposter syndrome on this podcast.
yes. So, okay. So, yeah, it'll affect me in ways that I don't see coming, where I'm dealing with imposter syndrome in my current job, right? Where I feel like, oh, like, am I good enough to actually be here? I've had a couple of those moments where it really like really got to me. So yeah, I'm still working through some of those emotions. But I will say the second time around it was easier because I knew that there was something on the other side of this. I also knew that there were plenty of other people being let go at the time. It wasn't, I didn't feel targeted, right? And I knew that it wasn't anything I did wrong. So yeah, there were key players in that company that were in the same boat as me. So as sad as that is, I did take comfort in knowing that I wasn't alone. And then also like that feeling like you're losing friends, that even if it's a remote workplace, like I feel like I'll never get to meet those people in person. You know, that sucks.
Your sense of
So
community, which is,
yeah.
like with like weekly stand-ups, or even if it's like, Zoom meetings, especially you probably were with those guys during the pandemic too, which just brings
Yep.
everyone closer. So that's got to be really tough.
Yeah. So that was, you know, some of the emotions that I experienced.
I have a quick question that I didn't put on the outline. What type of like conversation took place with the person that was delivering the news to you? Like what did they say?
Yeah.
Like we're restructuring, because from a business owner standpoint, obviously I don't have a really big team, but I do have an employee. I don't anticipate letting her go anytime
Right.
soon, but like it's kind of, weird to think about a future in which like that might need to be a conversation I would need to be on the other end on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
And I'm
yeah,
sure
yeah,
it's like I'm just curious about like what like rationale they gave you.
So I'll just speak to this past layoff. I felt very seen and very cared for in the delivery of the news. Ethan was the one who announced it to me, but he was also the person who hired me. Right. And I felt like that was very appropriate that he brought me on the team and he was the one to move me along. Mm-hmm. He did it in a way that where I understood that this was like not something that he wanted to do. Right.
Yeah.
And in a way where I knew that he wants what's best for me. So therefore, like, it's not over. Right. So I think I would have been a lot more hurt if it was like, it's over. And then you never hear from them again, or like you contact them through email again. Not the case at all here. There was follow up. There was a lot of like, hey, what can I be doing for you? Like,
that's awesome.
Reach out if you need anything. Right. The conversation's not over.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I guess like with the Dribbble acquisition and everything, like it must have just been like some restructuring of their expenses, you know, like I'm sure that that's what happens most often when there's especially like a larger round of layoffs. And just, you know, I was looking at my QuickBooks this morning and everything and like just looking at all my business expenses, and I'm always looking for opportunity to like, oh, how can I like reduce this? How can I optimize? How can I make things more efficient? And right now it's just subscription services because my team is like integral to the operation of my company. But I know some other studio owners who might be listening have larger teams or have multiple employees, and there are different seasons of what revenue looks like and what profitability looks like. And unfortunately it's hard, but like, you know, those people, you know, as team members are resources for your company, you know, human resources. And so it's like this like difficult thing where it's like, okay, this person is, I have a personal relationship with them and I don't see them as just a line item on my expense list. But when we're looking purely at the numbers or the data, that data says, hey, you know, these people need to be let go. That's got to be probably one of the hardest things for someone who is the like CEO or the owner of the company. So it's just like heartache all around. It's just a difficult situation, I feel like, for the boss, and then also of course for you, the person being let go too.
Yeah, I think that that bears repeating. It's like you have to have empathy for the company as well. You can't just be like, oh, woe is me. Which, yeah, sure. You can, but
yeah.
But also, like, the people who are laying you off don't want to do it, right? It's like, I will say the majority of times the business is like not in a position where they can do anything else. So, it's hard not to take it personally, but then it's also like, oh. Yeah, these people are doing something that's very hard for them to do as well.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for sharing kind of like all of those emotions with us, because I feel like talking about that is not something that you really see on social media super often. And that's like a big theme of this podcast and a big value of mine is kind of pulling back the curtain to make people feel less alone in their circumstances. And I think even anyone listening who's never – maybe you started off being a studio owner or whatever, or you've been fired by a client or something, or a project has just gone wrong. And like, I mean, I've been in those situations before, and it's hard to not just turn inward and start beating yourself up, even if it was in everyone's best interest for the contract to end, you know? So I just thank you for opening up about that. And I want to go kind of skip over the next question. We'll do that one a little bit later, but I would love to know just like any type of like mindset techniques that you use to help you during that season of life, kind of continuing that conversation from, hey, here's how I was feeling, but here's how I kind of dealt with that to kind of bring myself up out of, you know, those negative emotions. And it's probably an ongoing thing too.
Yeah, for sure. I think number one, it's very hard, but try and see the season that you're in as a gift. So work is a gift, but so is time off work, right? So like take that and use it. Work on your budget. Find the things in life that you might have taken for granted previously. So like, for example, my wife and I had more time to just like enjoy these moments, these quiet moments together. So like we would have like board game nights. Like that was something that we weren't doing for a while. We had like a closet full of board games and they just never got played. We were like, let's do some board game nights again. Or like,
yeah,
we canceled our Spotify subscription because we were on a budget. And that made us like listen to my physical records more and really enjoy that. So there's something to be gleaned from every season. And then seek out moments of peace, seek moments of joy, because those moments will hit harder in the struggle than they would in everyday sort of time as usual.
I love that.
So those are the moments that can really give you inspiration. And then take time out to meditate, pray, whatever. Just, you know, get away from the screen for a bit because you can. You're going to probably feel like you always have to be applying to a job. And make that like your work hours, right? So, yeah, take your work hours and apply for jobs. But then when you're not doing that, like, take moments away from the screen, because those are going to be time where you're like having self-care, where you're, you know, meditating, where you're praying, and you're going to be, you know, spending time with family, you know, spending time creating off screen. Embrace that extra time, whatever like extra hobbies you have to invest in. Yeah, so those were some techniques that I put to use.
I love all of those. And, you know, it's like you said, it's hard to reframe and see things in a new light. But, you know, I think about what some time off would look like. And like, of course, you know, you want to be able to support your family and have the healthcare and all that stuff. So not diminishing that at all, but just the brain break from the constant hamster wheel of work. Did you find that your creativity like was increased or impacted in any way by the time kind of away from, I guess, the compulsion of like having to design things for other people? Were you able to do a couple of personal projects? Or I think you mentioned getting back into illustration, which is exciting.
Yeah. Really, you know, taking the time to work on my portfolio and like see areas where I could improve. And I guess I'll get into that a little bit later when we talk about advice. But it all kind of inspired me to get back into drawing a bit, using my sketchbook and just like pursuing projects that were like, well, this is interesting to me. And even if it doesn't pay that well, it's something for me to invest in and get creative with.
Yeah, for sure. I love all of it. So, you know, let's get into that. Let's get into your advice for making the most of a period of unemployment.
Yeah. So number one bit of advice. So by the way, these are all going to be like no brainers and I apologize for that.
But that's okay.
It is what I took away from my experience. And I think it is very important. And so maybe you'll listen to these and be like, oh, obviously. But
sometimes it's hard in the moment to like find like a direction forward, and having someone else tell you is helpful. So do share.
So I took notes during my time off with those bits of inspiration, those bits of like, aha, of course. Why wasn't I doing this all along? So I took plenty of notes. So I'm going to go through just a list here of some of the notes I took.
Perfect.
Number one, connect. You're not alone. And one of the things that gets lost when you lose your job is your connection to your coworkers, obviously. You want to reach out and make connections with fellow designers as much as possible, because those are going to be the people that help you get better at what you do. And also just connecting and saying like, hey, I was laid off and it sucks. And other people need to hear that, because other people might need that sense of connection too, and connecting to someone that is going through the same thing that they're going through, or they've gone through.
Yes.
Or will go through, right? So maybe I'm talking to people who this hasn't happened to yet, and you're like, oh, interesting, okay. And then like, maybe not to be dark or anything, but you know, maybe in the future it might, and you're like, oh, I should go back and listen to that podcast.
I have a feeling this is going to be one that I'll be recommending to people in the moment for them to go back and listen to over time, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, reach out. Don't be afraid to tell people what you're going through. You never know where that might lead. That could lead to a future work opportunity. Number two, Adobe is a necessary expense, unfortunately.
Yeah.
When you're on a budget, don't cut it out of your budget. You need to factor that in, because if your employer previously paid for that for you, you're gonna need it for any project that comes up. Even freelance opportunities, don't try and work around it. Plus, the Behance account that comes with it is great to help you build up your online portfolio and make that a lot easier for you. So
yeah, just to interject about Behance for a second, one of my first retainer clients that I ever got right out of college was because I had a Behance account, and I just threw a couple of work things up on there from my like student portfolio. It was a company out of Chicago, and I had not changed my location on my Behance when I moved. And then I convinced them to enter into a subcontractor agreement with me remote. And so that's how I worked with Discovery Media for 4 years as a retainer graphic designer. So you just know by like putting yourself out there, like whose eyeballs are going to come across your work.
True. Very true. Another thing, like I mentioned before, pursue fun projects that you're interested in. I reached out to a local record store. I'm big into records, and I'm one of those people who like look at the record store day list whenever it comes out, and I'm like, oh, I want to like stand in line for that. So I go to a local record store for that, and they always have these giveaways, and some of them are posters and t-shirts. So I reached out to that store. I was like, hey, if you need an illustrator or designer to work on any of this like free stuff, let me know, because that sounds like a really fun opportunity for me to use my gifts. And they immediately wrote back and they said, you know what? Perfect timing. We were just talking about that.
Wow.
And like, they wouldn't have contacted me because they wouldn't have found me. Right. So I was the one who had to, you know, approach them and say like, hey, I'm available, I'm interested, and I have the time to do that sort of thing now, whereas before I didn't. So yeah, that was really fun. And honestly, one of my favorite things in my portfolio is that poster that I did for Record Store Day. So you never know. Awesome. Pursue those fun projects that might not pay as well, but that are just gonna inspire you to be creative. Get in on Instagram challenges, like hashtags. I just did the 36 days of type this past year with some people from my work who were just encouraging each other to do that, to get creative with typography and designing letters. And honestly, like, I got a lot of followers, not necessarily on Instagram, through Dribbble for doing 36 days of type. Like, all of a sudden, like, I got all these people I didn't know who were following me just because of that. And it's like such a niche opportunity to jump in on and then make those connections. So yeah, again, you never know who's going to come across your work through those hashtags and stuff. Another note I took was learn a new skill. For me, it was Figma. I knew nothing about Figma, and I kept seeing it whenever I was looking at job postings, and I was like, I should learn this.
Awesome.
I just looked up some YouTube videos on how to learn Figma, and then graciously accept criticism, seek it out, take the criticism, make your work better. Be confident enough to take pride in your work and humble enough to keep learning how to do it better. And seek out those people who can give you honest criticism, that the designers that you respect, that you know will, like, that you know will help you get better. Another thing is embrace the no. So anytime you get a no back from a company that you apply to, don't take those as personal rejections. Those are the moments that are going to guide you to where you need to be. So really important not to take that personally, but to actually be like, okay, now I know that that's not going to happen right now, maybe later, but I can actually pivot now. Whereas, like, I'm not being held in limbo by, like, just waiting in anticipation right. to hear back. And then make a daily/weekly checklist and do the best you can with the time you have. Make a dent. But, you know, if you don't get around to everything every day, that's okay. Just make sure you always have something to be headed towards.
I love that. And it's not always, like you mentioned before, it's not always being headed towards, like, oh, I have to get another job, like, tomorrow, and I have to compromise on what I want for my salary or, like, what I want to be doing. You know, like, I think you really made the most of a time that could have been spent wallowing. And, like, you also gave yourself permission to feel those emotions, but then kind of turned it around and said, hey, like, I'm just going to do things that I wouldn't have time for otherwise. Like, I can think of so many projects that I would love to, like, just reach out to, like, local businesses and people that I know, like, probably couldn't afford my current rates, like, you know, to make the most of your time and to still flex that muscle, because I could not design. That's how I know, like, yeah. that this is my passion. Like, it's like, I think I read some quote recently that said, like, you know you're passionate about something when you can't not do it. And that's one right. of the reasons why I jumped right back into design 2 weeks after I had my son, because I was like, oh, I'm going to take a ton of weeks off. And I was like, I don't feel like myself unless this is a practice that I'm doing. It doesn't have to be paid. It doesn't have to – no one has to see it. I just need to be in there with my Bezier mm-hmm. tool, with my pen tool, like, manipulating letters, looking at fonts. Like, so I think, you know, maintaining that connection to, like, what makes you feel human and creative is yeah. fantastic advice for anyone yeah, kind of going through a period like that.
There's something to be said too about just the idea of design is like taking something chaotic and making it beautiful and making it make sense and work. And I think that applies here a lot too, where it's like this chaos and this layoff and unemployment, these pieces aren't working together. How can I take those pieces and make something beautiful out of it? Whereas like it might look ugly. Let's turn it into something beautiful. Let's use the tools that we have to do that and, you know, make it functional, make it work.
That's a beautiful sentiment. I love that so much. Because you hit the nail on the head. Design is, you know, design is simplicity. Design is taking things away and removing and carving until you get to the heart of what something is. You know, that's inspired by a quote from Dieter Rams, one of my favorite designers. He has a list of what makes design design. So we'll have to put a link to that in the show notes, but, what a great perspective to have, you know? And I feel like this leads us really beautifully into this last question that I have here, you know, like, what would you say to other designers who might be experiencing a similar season, whether that's a layoff? A lot of designers in our community experience really slow client seasons if they're freelance or small studio, where inquiries are non-existent. There's not money coming in. It can feel really, really uncomfortable. And so, you know, how would you kind of recommend reframing that perspective in the face of either a layoff or a really slow season of business?
I guess I touched on a couple of these points before, but I guess they bear repeating. Use it as a learning experience. Learn how to present your work portfolio properly. That was one thing that, you know, when I was employed full time, I wasn't worried about my portfolio, honestly, because it was like I didn't need to be concerned with that. And then that caught up with me when I was suddenly laid off, where it's like, oh yeah, I should have been working on this as I went and presenting like proper mock-ups with my designs and like showing the whole process of like, here was the challenge that I had and here's the solution I gave and here's why it works. Learning a new skill, learn more about your craft, what motivates you to create. Don't be ashamed to talk about it. Be mindful of what you're learning. Like I said, take notes, journal. So I reached out to Jen because I wanted to use this experience for something good. And I had had that connection with Jen previously with through FontSpring. And I was like, hey, you know what? Maybe if this helps like one person, it's worth it, right?
That was our goal when we started the podcast 4 years ago, is if one person listens to this and feels encouraged or feels inspired or learns something new, then we've done our job. And I'm happy to say that you have done your job today. I'm sure there's going to be someone out there who feels encouraged by this.
Awesome. Yeah. And, you know, the art and design industry is really scary, especially right now. It's a scary place to be. But we need to step up. We need to connect with each other. We need to help each other out as much as possible as creatives, to get through those scary times.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this with us. And like I said, so relatable and so encouraging. I would love to share where people can find you. People can find you on Instagram at Brad Almond Art. You can see Brad's amazing illustration skills, which I think is rare in the graphic design industry. Not often do you see a graphic designer with also incredible illustration skills. You guys can go follow him on there. You can find him on Dribbble, dribbble.com/Brad Almond, and then Behance.net/Brad-Almond. Let's get our episode wrapped up with our inbox question for today. Vivian Montero Copertino asks, what advice would you give for someone starting in this industry with no design degree? What are your thoughts?
So like I said, when I graduated from college, I felt like I felt not ready for what was to come. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot in my classes. I respected my teachers a lot. I was inspired by them. And I learned principles that I can apply today. But I was thinking about this past week, and I see it as like learning a language where you can spend that time in the classroom to learn it. But really, the most important thing is immersion. So it's not until you go to that foreign country and you're like hearing that language spoken all around you on a daily basis where it's really gonna help you become fluent. So yeah, maybe you don't have that degree. Don't let that hinder you from immersion, because so much you're going to learn along the way, no matter what. Even if you did have the degree, you're going to learn stuff as you go. And that's the most important. Those are the most important things.
Yes. And as a designer without a design degree, I have a journalism degree. I fully and wholeheartedly agree with you. You know, that client Discovery Media that found me through my Behance profile back in the day when I was kind of just freelancing just for whoever, they never asked me what my degree was. They cared more about my portfolio, the strength of my work, how quickly I could work, how efficient I was. Those things are going to be more important. And, you know, as a studio owner myself, who is, you know, kind of in that growth and hiring phase, I could care less whether someone has a design degree. Someone could have a degree but not a great portfolio. They're not going to be a contender the same way that someone with even no college at all, but a fantastic portfolio that aligns well with my design style, and like a good personality and just like a good attitude. That's the person that's going to get the job. So hopefully, Vivian, these thoughts are encouraging for you. And also anyone else who doesn't have a design degree, it's a popular question we get is like, do I need to go to college for this? My answer is no, I don't think so. You can if you want to. And you know, that of course is going to enrich your experience. But I don't think a lot of college programs teach a lot about studio ownership or freelance or business or anything like that. You will get the technical design know-how, but like Brad said, that there's other ways to get that in real client experience. So fantastic answer.
Awesome.
All right. Well, that is it for today. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Brad, so much for sharing your precious time with us. This was such a refreshing episode, a little bit different of a topic than we typically cover. But like I said, I think it's a conversation that we don't hear often enough. And my hope is that someone out there feels encouraged by this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. And also, I got to put in a plug for compassion.com.
Yes.
Please check that out. If you want to make a difference in the world, it's an easy way. And also, buy font licenses from FontSpring. They're awesome.
Yeah. So shout out to FontSpring. I have been, you know, I have been a little dissatisfied with Monotype recently, and I don't have any affiliation with them whatsoever, but I have been buying some fonts on there that only have web font files that are annual licenses, which is just not something that I want to do to my clients. I don't want to spring this, oh, by the way, you have to pay $80 a month in perpetuity as long as your website is live. That's just so... I have some strong feelings about this, but honestly, I think it's a little ridiculous. FontSpring, they have their worry-free, you know, like badge on, I would say probably a vast majority, like 99% of the fonts on FontSpring have that worry-free badge. And that means that, you know, it's not an annual license. Like it's a license perpetual, based off of, it's a perpetual license based off of, you know, monthly page views, which I think is the industry standard, should be the industry standard. I always feel the best when I'm buying fonts from FontSpring, and I feel like they just went through a redesign. You know, their fonts are always easy to find and categorize, but the font exploration experience through FontSpring is amazing. So huge plug, not an affiliate. I don't stand to gain anything from that. I just love FontSpring. So love to them. Awesome. Definitely. All right. Well, we'll see you guys in next week's episode. Thank you again, Brad. And I hope everyone has a great rest of their day. Bye, awesome, guys. Thanks for listening. Hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Leave a review, join our free Facebook community, and share the pod with your designer friends so that they can join the fun. Give me a shout on Instagram at BetterPodcast if you want to submit an inbox question, and visit the pod at betterbranddesigner.com to learn more and snag discounts on my favorite resources. See you next week.